All right, thank you. We are here to talk about Azure Functions and serverless computing. So I want to make it clear up front, this is a very introductory session to Azure Functions. I only have half an hour, so we're covering a lot of ground in that half an hour. And if you want more detail, there's a lab today, 3 to 5 p.m., Azure Functions and Microsoft Graph, and we'll be digging way deep into Azure Functions at that point in time. So let's talk about the evolution of serverless computing. It used to be that we did all of our compute on premises. We had servers in data centers and so on and so forth, and those servers were responsible for doing all of our different compute jobs. And then we started developing things like infrastructure as a service, where you could host VMs in the cloud somewhere or at various data centers. And then we built platform as a service, where you can have dedicated web services in the cloud. And now we're getting to the extreme of serverless, where you have a small chunk of code that has been completely abstracted away from a server. So there's three fundamental pillars of serverless computing. Number one is the complete abstraction of a server. You have no idea that there's a server involved anymore. So whether this is through a Docker container or something else, you're not managing a server. Number two is that these things are event-driven. They can scale on demand in respect to the needs that you have for your compute job. And because we can scale these things so dynamically, we can bill you for the appropriate amount of time. So you only get billed when your Azure function is actually running. In addition, because you don't have those machines in play, your DevOps story becomes much more simplified. You have the ability to focus just on business logic and decompose your functions into microservices. And this gives you a faster time to market. So the Azure Serverless platform really has two fundamentals. It has Azure Functions and Azure Logic Apps. Azure Functions is really where you put your code. This is all open source, and it's based upon bindings and triggers. Your Azure function will trigger based upon something that happens, whether that's an HTTP call, a timer, or some other event. There's on the order of 10 different triggers at this point in time. Logic Apps gives you the ability to compose functions into larger pieces of functionality, and they allow you to introduce conditional flow and things like that for your functions. Now, Azure Functions and Azure Logic Apps aren't very useful by themselves. So we have to have a lot of other things in the platform, bots and gateway connectors, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, because we're Microsoft, we offer world-class developer tooling. And some of the announcements that they made at Build were significantly better developer support. So now you can do local debugging. You can even deploy your function apps locally. Satya talked a lot about the intelligent edge and the ability to run functions on premises. And this is one of the new things that you can do with function apps. So what are some of the common scenarios that we would use serverless for? Well, one of them is web applications. If you have a piece of functionality, like getting a coupon that needs to happen, your web app can go invoke an Azure function with an HTTP call. Similarly, bots, right? Bots have lots of functionality built in, but the most interesting things that bots do, like ordering a pizza or getting you the weather or something along those lines, those have to be handled externally, and functions are a fantastic place to handle that sort of logic. They can act as glue. If this, then that, Zapier, Flow, all these things are examples of how to bind different things together, and serverless can help you do that sort of thing. And then last but not least, serverless is really well poised to handle IoT, especially with the new intelligent edge functionality that we're introducing. But this is a developer conference, so let's focus on the developer lifecycle for Azure Functions. The developer lifecycle really boils down to four steps: design, develop, deploy, and monitor. And we're going to spend most of our time in this talk going through these four steps. So let's talk about design first. The design approach for building Azure Functions is fundamentally different than your normal application. This is very much like microservices, like functional programming. And so you have to think about things like, how do I build something that is stateless and asynchronous, and what are the building blocks that I need in order to compose my application? You can connect these things together with triggers and bindings, as we saw, and you can use Logic Apps to orchestrate the workflows. For DevOps, you can automate the deployment of function apps and functions through ARM templates. You can use a Git repository to deploy your functions up to your Azure function app. So in the Azure portal, you can go create a Git repo for your function app, and then you can push to that thing. And that enables all sorts of interesting CI/CD type stories. And they also just introduced swappable production and staging slots so that you can actually have this in real time, in real production environments, so that you can publish to your staging, test there, and then swap to production. And last but not least, you can monitor using App Insights. This is some of the triggers and bindings. This chart is always getting outdated because they're always adding new triggers and bindings, but it gives you a feel for some of the things that you can send into an Azure function. And we'll take a look at some of these things later. So how do we actually develop for Azure functions? So there's a NPM package called Azure Functions Core Tools that you're going to want to develop or install. It is a standalone runtime for Azure Functions, which means that if you build functions, you can host them locally on your machine. And you can have a full debugging experience, whether you're in Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code or some other environment. You can still trigger off of Azure events. So if your trigger is something that's hosted up in Azure, you can still use that. But you get to debug locally. With JavaScript, the best environment is Visual Studio Code. But really, you can use anything that's node-based. With C Sharp, you're going to want to use Visual Studio 2017. And there's a new set of attributes that they introduced that make life much easier for C Sharp developers. When you're in Visual Studio, you can now develop your Azure Functions as class libraries. When Azure Functions was first released, it was all script-based, right? So JavaScript. But there's also C Sharp script and many other scripting languages. And it was kind of clunky. There was the ability to build class libraries and use those in your Azure functions, but it wasn't very well documented. With the Build 27 set of announcements, we have introduced proper class libraries, and you can use WebJobs attributes to indicate what your function looks like. And this gives you the full power of Visual Studio. So you can run your normal test framework, and you can do anything else that you do in Visual Studio today. The tools are available at VS 2017 Function Tools, and I will give you one disclaimer, which is the current version of Visual Studio that they work in is still in preview, but you can install Visual Studio 2017 Preview even alongside Visual Studio 2017. So you can have the current version of VS 2017 and an upcoming preview version also of VS 2017 installed side by side in your developer machine, and I actually have that on my machine here. The WebJobs attributes allow you to not have to create this function JSON. So when you used to create Azure functions, you had to create a function.json in addition to whatever code you wanted to run. And the function JSON looked like this file over here. So we've got an incoming binding that talks about the HTTP trigger, an outgoing binding for the response, etc. Now we have the ability to map these things to various places in C Sharp, and so you no longer need the function JSON file at all. Now we declare the function name with the function name attribute. We can declare the fact that there's an HTTP trigger through attributes, and you can declare other triggers as well. In Visual Studio Code, you have all the goodness of Node.js. You can use JavaScript or TypeScript. The lab this afternoon will use TypeScript. You can use callbacks or promises, or again, whatever you use in JavaScript today. You can reference NPM packages and push your application up to Azure Functions, and Azure Functions will handle restoring those NPM packages for you. And you can still debug locally using Node. How do you deploy an Azure Function app? Again, we talked about the Azure Resource Manager templates. So if you're creating new Azure Function apps programmatically or deploying new functions programmatically, you can use your normal ARM templates in order to get those things up into Azure. As you're deploying actual functionality, the functions themselves, you can use Git to push that thing up to Azure Portal, And you can use the Azure Functions core tools to debug and test locally. And of course, you want to use the deployment slots and swap deployments as you go. All this is built into Visual Studio as well, if you're a Visual Studio user, so you can just right-click and publish from Visual Studio. And then finally, monitoring. We recommend Azure Application Insights. This gives you all sorts of really, really rich information into your function. And it's as easy as literally clicking a button when you create the function app. How do you orchestrate these things? Logic Apps is a really, really great way to glue all these things together. You really can use anything you want to, because it's all composed of timer triggers and HTTP triggers and many other things. But Logic Apps works really, really well alongside Function Apps. It's a workflow in the cloud, gives you basic conditional access, so flow control, you can iterate through loops, you can choose conditional paths. And you can check this in as code. Underlying the visual designer here is actual JSON that you can check in to any Git repo. There are many, many connectors today, 125 as of build, and they're being added all the time. So chances are, whatever you want to be able to connect with Logic Apps, you can connect today. And then finally, as I mentioned previously, we introduced serverless on-premises at build 2017. And so you can install a local function runtime, and you can actually deploy functions to your local network. Now, how does this work? There are two roles that you're going to use for Azure Functions local runtime. One of them is a management role, and this replaces the Azure portal. In the Azure portal, you have the ability to actually deploy your function and manage it and so on and so forth. And so the management role on-premises will need to be some sort of a dedicated machine. But in addition to that, there's worker roles. And the worker roles just use, again, a Docker container. So any Windows 10 machine, any Windows Server 2016 machine will work for deploying Azure Functions too. And this means that you can use the spare compute that you have today on all your computers. So imagine this bank, right? This bank has many, many computers distributed throughout their network. And presumably, they're not using all their compute cycles today. So they could actually use that spare compute as worker roles for Azure Functions and do big machine learning jobs or any one of the other AI things that we've talked about recently. Uses the same exact programming model. You can deploy the same function to Azure itself or your local Azure Functions runtime. As I mentioned, it has a local portal. You can also publish directly from Visual Studio. However, there are only two triggers for local Azure Functions at this point in time. There's a timer trigger and a SQL Server broker trigger. The HTTP trigger does not work currently on the local functions because of the nature of the worker role. As far as administrator features are concerned, again, you can leverage spare machine capacity and the two roles that I mentioned previously. So let's actually jump into some demonstrations and see what this looks like. So here I've got the Azure portal. I'm going to blow that up a little bit more. I'm just going to go to the home page of my portal. So here I have pinned a couple different function apps. If I want to create a new function app, as with anything else in Azure, I can just click the plus here and type function app. And this will give me the ability to walk through creating a new function app. Create. Again, standard choices. You're going to pick a name for it, where that thing lives. And down here is the button that I mentioned as far as application insights. You can just toggle that on, and all of a sudden you have magic telemetry for your function. So I'm going to open an existing Azure Function app. Creating a function app takes on the order of 2 minutes. So I'm going to jump into an existing function app. And we'll take a look at it. I've already configured this function app for Git deployment. And so if I go to Platform Features here and look at the application settings, oops, not application settings, I'm sorry. I wanted to look at all settings. It will tell me my Git repository. So the git clone URL is ddafunctions@devdaysasia. And again, I can just clone this locally and choose to push to that git repository. Here is the swap functionality. I don't currently have the deployment slots enabled for my function app, but if I did have them enabled, then I would have the swap functionality lit up. There's all sorts of other functions that you can configure. All sorts of other settings that you can configure. If you do have deployment slots configured, then you can actually have different settings for your production and for your staging slots. And you can actually diff those settings and so on and so forth. But here's the functions themselves that I have deployed. If I click on one of these, it says, hey, look, you're in read-only mode because you have source control integration enabled. So because Azure Functions knows that this is a Git repository, it won't allow me to make permanent changes to the function here. I can choose to run the function right in the portal itself. I can also choose to get a permanent URL for that particular function. And this allows me to trigger it. Now, the reason that I can get a URL for my function is because it is an HTTP trigger-based function. What does the repository for this thing look like? So here we have Visual Studio Code. Again, let me make this as large as possible. Hopefully that's legible for the most part. So this is just a basic Node application. I've got a couple key things here. So I've got a folder called Send Email Summary and a folder called Count Meetings. Each one of those has a function JSON in it that defines the fact that this is a function. So I've got a function called Count Meetings and a function called Send Email Summary. Count Meetings, Send Email Summary. Both of these say that these are HTTP trigger-based functions. And then the logic for these is written in TypeScript. TypeScript just compiles down to JavaScript. So even though there's no way to create a function app that is TypeScript-based, because TypeScript compiles down to JavaScript, I can use TypeScript to create my functions. Let's demo quickly the Azure Function runtime. Let me see if I can make this font larger. This one's more challenging. Wow. OK. So the Azure Function runtime, oh, this does not display well. Gives you the ability to run all sorts of different local Azure Functions. And so I can choose to host my Azure Function locally. I can choose to create a new function app. I can choose to create a new function. There's many, many things that the Azure Function core tools allow me to do. Again, this is just an NPM package, so I tend to install it globally, but you can also install it as one of your developer dependencies if you want to. So some of the things that you can do with it, I can choose to host my Azure Function currently. This gives me a couple different local URLs that I can use to go invoke those things. So now I can actually copy this URL, and I can use any utility like Postman or other things to actually access my function. And I believe that is everything that I have as far as Azure Functions is concerned. So we actually finished a few minutes early. Are there any questions that I can answer before the lab this afternoon? Questions about Azure Functions? OK, well, in that case, I'll give you guys a few minutes back. And I hope to see you at the lab this afternoon. Thanks.